We're going to have community service district to order at 4:01 p.m. Please stand for the pledge.
All right, everybody can stand. Face the flag, hand over heart, ready to begin.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
To the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, great. May we please have roll call?
All right, Vice President Altamirano.
Here.
President Leija.
Here.
Director Skrbalis.
Here.
Director Treba.
Here.
Director Murphy.
Here.
Okay, do we have any public comments? None. Okay. Moving on to item 5, consent calendar. Do we have a motion?
We pull items. I wanted to pull the bills and item D and F.
That's B, D and F?
So that's item B, which is approved the salary expenses and
right.
transfers. Item D, surplus property. And item F, conflict interest codes.
Okay. Would you like to make the motion to approve the bills?
I'll move to approve consent calendars items A, C, and E, A, C, and E.
Wait a second. Second. Second by Director Morano. Okay. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay. Item C, correspondence and related information. I see there is none.
Correct.
On to, let's see, what am I doing here? On item 7, I would like to make a motion to move item C in front of item A. Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we need a second to the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, Director Trejo, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes 5-0. So item 7C, over at this time.
Okay, so can you pull up the impact stuff? Okay. All right, so we have a not a new face to most of you, but we have Joanna in the audience today about kind of leading up to why she's in the boardroom. So a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago, we had our annual summer picnic impact award. We showed some of these pictures 3 weeks ago. I don't think there's any new pictures, but what we didn't have at the time is the winner. So you know, for those of you who know Joanna, she's been at the district for, geez, 20 years, 20 plus years now, right, Joanna, on the customer service team. Obviously, she's grown with the districts, had a tremendous impact on the district. And the way that the Impact Award works, and again, Impact stands for integrity, motivation, adaptability, professionalism, adaptability, commitment, and teamwork. So the way that the Impact Award works, it's peer nominated, right? So, you know, we have the nomination periods usually in May. It runs through June, leading up to the July picnic. So it's peer nominated. Joanna was nominated by her peers this year, and she ultimately was the winner. So she has this nice little award right here. But before we kind of get to that, I just want to highlight some of the things that her peers said about her. So Joanna is such a bright light in the office, providing outstanding customer service. Joanna completes each task with tremendous care to deliver exceptional work. So that was one person's comment. Joanna demonstrates outstanding teamwork and leadership, and then among other things, but I'm just trying to highlight some of the things for the board. And then also her willingness to help and collaborate makes the whole workplace environment better. So Joanna is the second winner of the Impact Award. She got this little thing right there. So the theme of the picnic was like Aloha theme, right? So we have like a little totem.
Matches my shirt.
So I invited Joanna here today, and I just wanted to highlight some of these comments in front of the board. So nice. Thank you, Joanna, for your service.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was basically, we don't have any new pictures, right?
No.
Okay. All right, Joanna. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Couple other updates. So the toilet giveaway event. So we had our first toilet giveaway event in July. It was right after we had our last board meeting in July. So we didn't have the opportunity to show any pictures. So this has been our first opportunity to do. So great event, well coordinated. Jacqueline and her team, Martha, Melissa, they did a tremendous job coordinating this event. Before we go through the pictures, hold on, let me talk a little bit about it, Melissa. It was a Saturday. We had to coordinate amongst, administrative staff, field staff. We haven't done a lot of these community outreach events yet. This is still new territory for us, but I'll say, I thought it went relatively smoothly. It was basically an entire day event. It's in July. It was hot. The team worked tremendously. It was tough work, but I honestly, I had fun. It was great bonding, time with the team. So I'm gonna get into some stats, but we do have some pictures. So, like I said, well coordinated. We had to kind of get our traffic control plan approved. People were coming off Rubidoux, turning on to, this is 36th Street right here, right? Turning on to 36th Street. We had this gate open. We kind of looped them around as best we could to get them off of Rubidoux Boulevard. Then they pulled right in front of our bays. We loaded up their toilets and then they exited right here. So it was appointment only. There was paperwork. I just, by and large, great event. So the stats on that, we ended up giving out 166 toilets. We had 36 no-shows that we're trying to reschedule for the next event on 8/15. We currently have 172 scheduled for the 8/15 event, and there's still 66 openings. So can you roll back through those pictures again, Melissa? Sorry for those. So we had different kind of stations set up. So this is Julie, our assistant engineer. So she was kind of in charge of paperwork. Her and Martha worked together to give out the low flow shower heads. If you want to move on, I know Director Murphy had an opportunity to stop by. So this is a vantage point off of 36, looking onto Rubidoux. These are the cars lined up. We understand that that can be problematic on Rubidoux. That's why we did our best to kind of move them onto property. There's a different vantage point of the cars going down 36. This is Martha's station. So she's getting all the paperwork signed. And then you can kind of see in the distance, that's where we are set up. We have two lanes to deliver the toilets. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. That it?
Yes.
Okay, that was it. So, like I said, very successful in my opinion. We did a debrief after the fact. There's a couple of things that we're going to tweak leading into the 8/15 event, but we're excited for the 8/15 event. Again, tell your friends that are customers. We still have 66 openings, so please call our customer service staff, and then they can also reserve their toilet. So, and then lastly, tomorrow is the 2026 Chamber Board Installation Dinner, August 7th, tomorrow, 6 p.m. Skyview Event Center. So that's it for item 7C.
I have a quick question on the toilet giveaway. Are we capturing information on how they learned about it?
Yes.
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 Good.
Could you give me that? So the giveaway was 167 and 31 no shows.
So 166 on the 7/18 event with 36 no shows. And we currently have 172 scheduled for the 8/15 event with 66 openings.
Now, if we don't have everything given away, will we reschedule another event?
We probably won't do a weekend event, but we'll try to just give them away during normal business hours. They still have to abide by kind of the release of liability and all that kind of stuff.
Gonna be door prices.
They said that again.
Door prices.
Okay.
The chamberlain.
Boot test.
Yeah, that concludes item 7C.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, we will move to item 5B.
First,
from the
7A.
Don't we put the consent pulled items before?
I believe they go into item 8.
Oh, item 8. Yeah. You are right. Okay, thank you. Okay. 7A, operations report.
All right. We don't typically do the operations report the first meeting of the month, but in light of the two recent sewer spills, I asked Miguel to prepare some slides.
Thank you, Brian. So yeah, there's a couple sewer spills that have happened in the last couple of weeks. The first one over on Avalon by the Emerald Ridge development. That one overflowed on July 20th, Monday, July 20th, 10:48 a.m. It was 5 gallons that spilled out into the street. All of it was cleaned up, recovered, and the cause was a plug that was left in the receiving manhole after they removed the bypass, the sewer bypass that was bypassing a development. You know, our collection staff responded quickly. They were there within 15 minutes. Wasn't a lot of flow, about a gallon a minute. They were able to remove the plug, you know, which, you know, restored the flow, clean, vacuum the area. None of it entered the storm drain. It was fully contained and cleaned. But, you know, we did have some, there were some meetings afterwards to get with the contractor, the developer, the inspectors, our staff, to make sure that, you know, this, we could prevent this stuff from happening. So it was a category 4. Yeah, the pictures. That's the entirety of the spill. That's when our staff first showed up there on Monday morning. And that was after the cleanup. So 35 gallons in total, all captured before it got to the storm drain.
Other one, wrong one.
I'm sorry.
Wrong one. You're talking about the other one. Not
there. Oh, this was, yeah, I'm sorry. This was five gallons. Category 4 was reported. Any questions on this spill?
I'm not quite sure. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how do you find out about these spills?
The inspector called our inspector, the Krieger inspector. He called our collections team.
What inspector?
His name is Guillermo. He's for Krieger Stewart. Okay. Our full-time inspector.
So this is, and I sent out a map. So immediate to the left of this is the Emerald Ridge development, right? So if you go right over to 60 Freeway, this is kind of behind the Jack in the Box. That's where we're at. So just to get a
Alta Street, what used to be Alta Street, just right by the 60 Freeway.
Are they doing like the routine inspection and new development, the inspector?
Yeah. So we. Yeah, they pop manholes and that mechanical plug. It was, so there was a change of inspectors, but that mechanical plug sits back into the hole. So
how often do they visit the sites? The inspector?
Oh, they're there every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
Are they visiting all sites that are being developed right now?
Yeah, the whole thing.
They always do that, or does that mean?
No, they've been doing it for this development. Yeah, there's always been full time inspection.
Okay. And the district, does that one also have
yes
inspectors showing
yes
up?
Yep. Okay. The second sewer overflow was a week ago on Avenida Juan Batista, 5580. That one occurred about, we got the call at 7:37 p.m. Director Murphy called that in plus. Our standby guy, he lives in the district. He was able to get over there rather pretty quickly. That estimated spill volume was 35 gallons. That went down about 200 feet down to the storm drain. We estimated about 5 gallons got into the storm drain. Popped that, recovered it all out of the basin. It didn't go to the receiving waters. And we have been cleaning that area this whole week, And what we found was downstream from the manhole that was overflowing, there is a siphon. So it's where our sewer main goes underneath the storm drain. So it kind of creates a sag or a belly where sediment can accumulate, right? Rags, grease. That's exactly what we found. We were not aware that that siphon was there. There's a picture of the overflow. There's just when our staff got there, they got they do a berm, they put dirt in the gutter so it doesn't get to the storm drain. And on the left there, that's all the grease that was out that night we cleaned. And then the picture on the right, that's the siphon. So that's where it starts to, there's a 45-degree pipe that goes down underneath the storm drain. You can just see it's, filled with grease and rags. There's not a lot of flow in that line. It's only like a handful of homes. So over, when it's not a lot of flow, they can't push it out of the siphon. But we have added that to our hotspot list. So now we'll be doing regular cleaning in that area.
I want to find the grease and rags.
We see it. Yeah, we see it. We definitely see it.
Is it near the restaurants?
No, this is actually all homes.
So, in a case like this, sorry, when you said there aren't a lot of homes that are using that, what would it take a lot of
It
time for that
does.
to build
Oh,
up?
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get unscrupulous people who are working on a car or something, I'll throw those oily rags down and
Yeah, this is one
scoop
of
them down, At what point would this have turned into a category three, and what would have upgraded it? How much
So a
more?
category three would be over 50
Over
gallons.
50.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is all relatively. This is all, well, the 5 gallon small
Only
stuff.
five, yeah.
Long as
So
it
this is 35 gallons.
doesn't
Is
make
it
it to
re
the.
if any of it reaches the receiving waters, like the river, it would be the closest, or if we can't recover it all from the storm drain, then it escalates. Category one, category two. So yeah, that was a week ago. So this whole week we were cleaning that area. Yeah, we did find a lot of grease.
I don't
Around
know
the
if
siphon.
I touched upon it, but that was, quick work. Director Murphy obviously reported to me, but quick working on staff. I want to say by the time it got reported to me and we were on site, probably 30
Yeah,
minutes.
30 minutes. It was
Pretty
cleared.
good. Where was that exactly by?
So it's Juan
People
Batista
by.
near Skyview.
Oh, it was over. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the manhole, so it filled up the 200 feet of pipe because that the manhole was up more, almost towards Garces.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that siphon is 200 feet, 220 feet downstream of where the manhole was.
Kudos to Director Murphy.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's the industrial home
Yeah,
that
it's been
they're
cleaning, and then that
right.
is on our hotspot list. We'll be cleaning it regularly.
What does that sound like regularly?
Monthly.
Okay.
I saw the Mack truck on Peralta. What does that have anything to do with that?
Yeah, that's in the area.
Yeah.
Are we doing any outreach to the neighborhood?
Well, we know that we need to. We constantly do bill stuffers, but we got to do more. We know of a couple of players in the area that constantly contribute to RAG. So we've talked internally about hosting education events for them. For instance, not to put anybody on blast, but we know the down there at Crestmore, that area is known for contributing rags to the lift station off Exmoor. So we know that we need to do more, and we will do more. But yeah, I mean, we have 7,000 customers and people that think, oh, my little bit of grease won't mean anything, but it accumulates over time. And these flushable wipes that get marketed as flushable wipes are really not flushable wipes. You kind of see it in the picture on the left, off to the right. Those are the wipes. They kind of look like paper towels. They don't break down like toilet paper. You can imagine these pipes really aren't that thick and very large in diameter. What's the diameter of that
Eight
pipe?
inch.
8-inch. So, you know, you have accumulation of wipes and grease over time. It's unfortunate, but I know the sewer crew, we have 80 miles worth of sewer pipe in the district. And obviously the sewer crew is still quite new, but they're actively cleaning. And until we fully video the system, we won't truly know kind of all of the, you know, vulnerable spots. But I know that we're working daily to try to mitigate these vulnerable spots.
Yeah, ever since we created the collections crew, I mean, they've come across, you know, multiple near spills or spots where grease was accumulating. We were able to get up there before a spill.
We had 3 within a month?
Two.
Are there any other questions or comments?
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure I'm understanding this. When you're saying grease, you're saying kitchen grease?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then for rags, are we talking about these flushable wipes?
Yeah, we call them, we generally call them rags. That's kind of like the industry term, but they're flushable.
They're not cloth.
They're not cloth.
Okay.
We have seen cloth, but no.
Yeah. All right. Wipes. I'd like to get a good look at the pictures.
Yeah, we have video.
So if you could get a laptop set up before the next meeting with the pictures and that video, so I can get a good look at that.
Should move that. Been on a lighter note. Some other projects we've been working on, our staff, is the Well 1A generator. Well, that's one of the 3 generators we got from the Cal OES grants. Our staff did the concrete slab for that. It's a pretty big slab, you know, 19 feet by 9 feet, 1.5 deep. You know, 11 cubic yards. Our staff did the forms, the rebar, and you know, then we called the crane truck to the crane to put the generator on the slab. Center Electric did the wiring up, and now we're currently in for Point Cat to the startup procedure, and they should be getting back to me any day now. You know, it's really important to have a generator at Well 1A. It's one of that's one of our 3 major wells for the Thompson plant. But also, now that we have Well 2 running here, our blending scheme, it won't allow Well 2 to run without Well 1A. So if there's a power outage at Well 1A, we're down 2 wells. You know, and with the windy season coming up, the power safety shutoffs. That'll help out a lot. There's a picture of the rebar and the pour. That's the final. So we should be having that up and running in the next couple of weeks.
Are those in the air as loud?
No. Mm-hmm. No, they're not as loud as the older style, the older ones.
You know, their home's right next to it, right?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be so across the street it'll be like the district of Kalupa Valley, but there are homes, yeah, on that corner next door to you, actually. And lastly, a couple new certifications. Paul Moreno received his water treatment operator 2. June 27th, and Albert Gandara, he's our newest employee. He got his commercial driver's license a few weeks ago.
So that's a great picture of him.
Yeah, he just had a baby, so he's been off.
Well,
so,
thank you for your report.
All right,
thank you. Okay, moving on, items. 7B, emergency and incident report. We don't have anything today. Item 7D, committee reports. Do we have them?
No.
And the Unified School District student liaison report? Not yet. Okay. So this brings us to item 8, action and discussion items. We will now hear from the consent calendar, item 5B, or fiber economy.
So there was a B was the salaries, expenses, and transfers. I had some questions on that. There's a bill there from Ben's Lock and Safe for a lock. Where was that at?
That was at
what building?
Was that the shed? No, yeah. I believe that was the Smith plant.
Yeah,
that was for the doors at the Smith plant. They were sticking, so.
Then there's a bill in there from Minuteman Press. It was like 512 late notices. That was a 1 month period.
Correct.
Okay. Then there's two bills in there from us, Activated Carbon. And the unit price on that was, one was $1.46 and the other was $1.55. We're buying tens of thousands of those units. Was there some explanation as to why the price varied?
When we went out to bid, or when we got the bid for the GAC initially, it was April. And by the time we actually needed it, it was July and the price had risen. And so they had forgot to add the price increase in the original bid. And so after it was all said and done, they came back and hit us with the bill.
Then I also looked at that bill from Don Gurley. I'll move for approval of the salaries, expenses, and transfers.
Second. We have a motion second by Councilor Alvarado. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving to item B, also full government.
Do you have questions, Director Murphy, or do you want to say?
Yeah, just checks are under.
Okay.
All right. So for the item 5B, if we can get a presentation by staff.
Sure. Okay. So about 4 years ago, the district adopted a resolution regarding the disposal of surplus district personal property. I know that's a mouthful. So what that did is that set forth a number of things, four main things: authority to dispose of surplus personal property, maximum values of which personal property may be surplus under the resolution, methods in which personal property may be surplus, and prohibited participation. So pursuant to section 7 of that resolution, there are prohibited groups of individuals, which includes board members and staff. Although there is an opportunity for sale of surplus personal property to be permitted under three conditions: one, board sole discretion; two, by resolution; three, subject to applicable laws, rules, and regulations. So we've actually done this before. So I know that the original resolution dates back to 2022, 898. The resolution right after that, we did a surplus personal property to staff 4 years ago. So over the last 4 years, we use these items, they get old, we buy new stuff. The last time we did this is 4 years ago, so we've accumulated some new items currently situated in our bay. This is the biggest of the building, so it's time to kind of disperse them. So one of the options is to have this resolution adopted to surplus it to staff. Some of the staff had made mention or interest in the personal property. That's one way to dispose of them. That's kind of the path forward that we've undertaken or recommending. There is not an option to donate it. There are criteria for donating it to nonprofits. On our website, there's an application that the 501c3 would have to fill out. And then, we would make a determination on who to donate it to. So this particular property this time, it's pretty old for the district, doesn't have a lot of salvage value. So again, we're trying to clear out some space, and we can't just get rid of it because this was public funds were used to purchase this property. So one of the options is to surplus it to staff. So from a budget consideration standpoint, we don't expect to generate a lot of money. I put $200 in the staff report. I would say probably less than $50. But in order to do that, we do need to have the board adopt a resolution. So it's our recommendation to adopt resolution 2026 9 36. We'll do the silent bid process. If nobody is interested in it, then we'll try to donate it to a 501c3. But again, they have to put an application on file, similar to what the resolution from 2022 sets forth. And that's about it. Any questions?
So I'm just trying to understand. My expectation is that in the future we will have more items like this.
Correct.
Trying to understand the process. So what some agencies do is they send it out to an auction. There's like that Ritchie's vehicle auction. They sell vehicles. There's also other auctions. And there's a cost to do that. You gotta physically take the stuff there, and if it doesn't sell, you got to bring it back. That's like $300 just to do that. Then for each thing you're going to sell, it's some kind of lump sum plus a percentage. So, of these 10 items, in the event that nobody around here wants them, what's the plan?
Did we?
We do have an account with GovDeals,
Yeah.
which is a government auction website for surplus property. We listed the printer that's on that list. I tried to get $500 and then I kept dropping it and dropping it and dropping it. It was listed for probably 2 months and never sold. The deal with that would be that somebody would buy it at the listed price. Like if we listed it for $200, we would receive $200 and the purchaser would then be required to come get it and they would pay like $215. They would pay the fees and then GovDeals would collect the fees on top of our listed price, from what I understand.
So, oh, so what I want to do is do the silent bid. If half of the items get bid on, okay, the other five, we'll try to solicit interest from 501c3s. If nobody's interested, then scrap it.
Okay, so the name of the website was GovDeals.
Yes, the one I registered as.
Okay, and you put it on with the reserve and then lowered the reserve several times.
Yes.
What was the cost to do that? There's labor,
Free.
so. Okay, so there's labor cost to do that, so that's a few $100s and it didn't work out. Okay. Do we have any 501c3s that have provided us that they're interested?
We have two applications on file. One of them looked at all that stuff and only wanted one group of items, which is not in this list. That is segregated for that 501c3.
And I have to say something. I could care less about that stuff because I'm not really part of that line. I am part of the Lions Club, but I'm not the one that really was putting the paperwork through. But I just assume if they go for it, that other organization, let them have it.
All right.
Because.
We're all part of more profits.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we can send them the list and say, why it's so
We really need it, those pictures of this.
But,
We again, we went this route because we've done it before. The employees shown interest.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I mean, I have, we can do a pivot, try to push the nonprofit. I'm just, it's been sitting in here for a few months now. We're trying to free up space.
And I have to tell you, the chairs are not Louis Vuittons or anything like that.
No,
My big
if
chair.
you look at like the chairs and it was the old table. That had been here for decades.
So
I
does the
mean.
RPD also have a nonprofit for the parks? For
Yes.
the Eddie P. Smith Center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would probably benefit from those screens. And
Okay.
so I think even speaking to them and
Yeah.
putting them as a priority.
So they may have to contact, excuse me, we have to contact the city on that because remember the city owns NED. We just operate
But you guys have a nonprofit.
it. Yeah.
RPD has a nonprofit that to
Yes, we
apply
do.
to use them.
I heard the discoveries.
Yeah.
Whatever they can
Yeah.
use it for, rather go
Yeah.
to our government agency.
Discovery Service not needing more junk up there.
They don't need any screens or
No,
mirrors.
we
You
have
know, you
plenty of
guys know
junk
what
up
you're
there. What
doing.
kind of junk they got there?
You guys know
Take
what
your
you're
truck
doing.
and go.
Thank
We'll
you.
load you up.
No, I can tell you my personal experience. My neighbors are in the same situation as this district. They have stuff they don't want anymore. And what they'll do is put it out at the curb. And I go by and I go, they're throwing away something that is in perfectly good condition that is more valuable than anything I would ever figure on purchase. And that's, I'm amazed at no end that the amount of stuff that's on the, I'm amazed to no end the amount of cardboard boxes from Amazon that I see in blue bins and the amount of stuff I see on the curb. But anyway.
If you had a 20, if there was a bunch of toilets out of the curb.
Yeah.
My wife's plan is bent, but I'll let her pick anything she wants on her birthday.
Okay, so the plan is to silent bid for employees. If there's, and we've already contacted the 501c3s that are on file.
We try to, we send a few out that we can just find in the vicinity. I'm send me a list of 501c3s that you guys are aware of, and we'll send them an email and we'll try to make contact and we'll get their application on file. We do have, we did modify our website. If you were to go on our website, the top ribbon used to say bids. Now it says bids surplus property. So we modified that. You can find the application online.
So in the future, if we have surplus property, we can email a link to our list of 501c3s.
Okay. That's correct.
Okay. So I follow, so I understand this. And just to let you know that when there are people who are trying to buy dirt, you know, the place I work sells dirt. So I get phone calls about buying dirt. All right. So I'll move for approval of the disposal of surplus property.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion, a second by Director Scarbellis, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 5-0. And moving on to item 5F from the consent calendar, pulled by Director Murphy.
So I just had a question on this. So, so my understanding is that we'll have to disclose potential conflicts and interests. There's a group of people here. It's the general manager, assistant general manager, director of operations engineering, engineering consultants, general counsel, consultants and new positions. Is new positions new employees?
Well, no, not necessarily. Like, if we were to create a new position that dealt with finance related stuff, then that would be subject to that.
Okay.
But if your position was on here and you were new to that position, then yes, you would be subject to that.
Okay. And then this disclosure category 2, all interest in real property which is located in whole or in part within or not more than 2 miles outside of the district, including any leasehold, beneficial ownership interest, or option to acquire property. Do we have any employees on this, in these categories, that have disclosed that category 2?
I don't know, Director Murphy, off of my head.
If you could let us know during the general manager's report at the next meeting or the meeting after, that would be helpful. I'm going to move for approval of the resolution to amend the standard conflict interest code.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have motion second by Director Treba. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Okay, so moving on to item 8, that would be discussion items. That would be item A for a quarterly budget, the actual capital improvement budget plan and branch.
Okay, got some slides. So, one housekeeping item. So, as I was preparing my slides, I was looking at the attachment. So attachment 1 under the water fund, I realized that there was a group of accounts that were hiding. That was line items 69 through 72. So on the dais is that missing data. Okay. So this is receive and file our quarterly budget to actual capital improvement project, CIP plan, and grants for fiscal year 25-26, fourth quarter. So this is new, obviously. Part of my review, the board had asked that from a transparency standpoint, if I can provide quarterly reports on the financial position of the district. It centered around CIP, but I kind of took it one step further. I thought to looking at just the CIP and not kind of looking at the whole picture. So then I kind of focused also on the operating accounts of the district, and then I added the grants too. So there's three attachments included with the staff report. Attachment one is the fourth quarter budget to actual analysis of the operating accounts. So what that is, it's a highlight of the significant variances in overall financial performance by major fund, that being the general fund, the fire fund, the solid waste fund, the water, and the sewer fund. Attachment two is same fourth quarter, same time period. And when I say fourth quarter, it's year to date. So basically, fourth quarter is basically the entire fiscal year. Is the CIP summary and status. So this is an itemized update of active capital improvement and major maintenance projects, including project type, project status, adjusted budget, expenditures to date, and anticipated completion timeline. And then attachment three, fourth quarter again, grant summary and status. So this was an itemized update of active grant programs, including funding source, cost share, grant award, amount reimbursed, and associated project. So focusing first on attachment one. So attachment one is what I call the itemized budget, right? So it's basically every single line item that you'll find on our budget, the adjusted budget, the year-to-date, the dollar variance, and the percent variance. So because this is the first time doing this, I had to kind of set a metric on what I thought was an appropriate variance to provide a comment on. As you can imagine, over five different budgets, many, many line items, it just wasn't feasible to provide a comment on every single line item. So using the metric that I installed, which is subject to change, right? This is the first time we've done this. I provided comments, and those are on the individual attachments. But what I've done for the purposes of this presentation is I'm providing kind of like the classified budgets, right? So you can kind of see the overall picture and the health of the different funds. So starting first with the general fund. General fund had operating income, had total revenues budgeted at $3.2 million. The year to date was just north of that, right? So that's basically in line with the budget. From an expense standpoint, the total budget amount was about $3 million. The actual was $3 million, fairly neutral there. The large line item that has a huge variance is what's called asset acquisitions. If you look at the detailed budget, that $1.5 million is the building project, right? When the board authorized that work, I want to say August of last year, we amended the budget to include that project cost of $1.5 million. I'll talk more about that later in these slides, but that's a huge change there. So in actuality, the budgeted fund deficit was 1.5 throughout the course of the year. We only really realized about $100,000 deficit. And one thing I wanted to note for the board, so this applies to all of the budget. So these expenses are year to date and are subject to change because the staff is going through the year end close procedures, right? So this is about the time every year where Kirk's working with Martha and our vendors to get in all of our remaining invoices that apply to the fiscal year in question. So these are preliminary numbers subject to change. They will probably change, probably not that much though. There's probably a few invoices that will straddle on to August 20th before Kirk closes the books, right?
Yeah. I mean, everything trickles in. Right? We're in the beginning of August. So then for audit perspective, if we get a bill in August that relates to this last year, we book it to last year, and it becomes accounts payable as of the 30th. Same thing for like revenues. We do an estimate of unbilled revenues for the audit perspective as well.
So that's the general fund. You know, I guess I kind of glossed over. So operating income is not traditionally what you think of operating income. The way that the general fund kind of pays it is that its expenses is that all the other enterprise funds and the fire fund kind of have to chip in, right? So that's what we quote unquote call operating income. That's the cost of the central services, the general fund being the central services that get allocated out to different funds, right? So that income is supposed to be out of an amount to offset the operating expense and the administrative expense. So that's, just kind of walk you through the procedural understanding of the general fund. The fire fund. So operating income on the fire fund, we took in about $1 million more than what we budgeted for. Operating income in the fire fund is property tax revenues. So we had budgeted about $6.5 million in property tax revenues. We realized about $7.5 million. And there's still a few property tax receipts that are still trickling in. Operating expense for that, it looks quite low than the budget amount, but keep in mind, we get billed by CAL FIRE quarterly for a fire contract. That only includes three quarters. So we have an estimate of the fourth quarter, about $800,000. So that favorable variance will drop by about $800,000. All in, the fund excess, $2.3 million, less an estimated $800,000 for that fourth quarter, about $1.5 million more than what we were anticipating, right? So when we say fund excess, that means we brought in more revenues than we had expenses. So what that money does, that 1.5, basically rolls into our unrestricted reserves at the end of the year. Solid waste fund. So we had operating income currently of about $5.9 million. One thing to comment on when it comes to operating income, so that's ratepayer revenue. One of the items that's not in there that's done during our cash to accrual closing for the audit is we post the unbilled AR. So what unbilled AR is basically revenue that we've earned that we haven't billed for yet, right? So what that means is because of the lag when it comes to preparing the bills and Rosanna doing the meter readers. So that's money that we've earned through June that's not billed yet. So we estimate that the unbilled AR for the trapper, yes, for the trash fund is about $450,000. So that would actually bump up our operating income to north of $6 million. First time that the trash enterprise has eclipsed $6 million. That is a contract-based business, right? So increase in revenue means an increase in expense. So then the operating expense and the administrative expense. So one thing to highlight there is the fund excess currently shows a deficit of about $116,000, but keep in mind, we have not posted the unbilled AR just yet. All right, moving on to the water fund. So again, the same logic in the water fund, operating income is just under $9 million. It looks like we took in more money than our budgeted number, but our unbilled AR for the water fund is about $700,000, right? So if we were to post that, then we'd have about $450,000 more in operating income in the water fund than what we had budgeted for. From an operating expense standpoint, less than what we budgeted for, which is good and bad. There's certain line items in the budget that we just did not get to, but there's other line items, for example, treatment media, that we always budget at about $1 million. And just to be conservative, in this particular year, I think you only spend about $200,000 of that, maybe a little bit more. Administrative expense is basically payroll, benefits, workers' comp expense, and then the other expense. Asset acquisitions, about $1 million. It says long-term debt, $476,000 without an expense. That's just in the way that the accounting is reported. We did pay our debt service. It just doesn't get captured in the budget because, can you explain it to me
So the water fund is like a business,
better?
and so that's on a full accrual basis. So that's not an expense, it's actually just a reduction of your debt. So it's kind of like a balance sheet transaction where your cash goes lower, but then your debt goes lower also. So your cash is an asset, the debt is a liability. They offset. So in the water fund, when you make those payments, it's not an expense. The general fund is a little bit different because it's modified accrual, which is a weird governmental accounting thing where they show expense in the fund level. But when you do like the big government-wide statements, which are the big statements at the front that are combined, it then gets removed out and reduces the liability.
Thank you, Kirk. So when it looks at the kind of the fund excess, the fund deficit, so the big kind of change there is if you look at the transfers, what we had done in the budget is we had planned for a lot of money transferring from just rate revenue to the CIP account to cover project costs, right? So we'd only make that transfer if we needed to make that transfer to cover project costs. In this particular year, we obviously incurred project costs, but we had enough built up deposits in those particular accounts. We did not need to make the transfer from the operating account. That's the huge swing there. So in actuality, again, we haven't posted all the accruals, but the fund excess in the water fund is about $1 million more year to date for fiscal year 25-26. And then lastly, the sewer fund. Again, same logic. Sewer fund revenues is just under $4 million. The unbilled AR on the sewer fund is about $300,000. So once we post that, we'll actually exceed the budgeted number. From an operating expense standpoint, it is lower than the budgeted amount, but one of the largest line items in that account is the City Riverside wastewater treatment plant costs. And we only have 10 months worth of invoices. It's about $150,000 per month. So that number will actually shoot up about $300,000. So that will drop the fund excess by about $300,000, bringing us at about $700,000 at the end of the year. Same thing, same logic on the transfers line item. We had planned for transfers out of the operating account to the CIP account to cover project costs. When that does not happen because we have sufficient monies on deposit in those particular accounts, transfers aren't needed. So that's how that number flips.
Why is the AR on the sewer fund lower than anyone else?
Because sewer fund's a flat rate, unless you're a commercial account over 7 units of water, right? Water has a fixed rate and a variable rate. So
Okay.
throughout the seasons, you'll see a lot more variability in the sewer or in the water revenues as opposed to the sewer. And the flat rate is, I think, $30.
38.
30 bucks. So just the rate for sewer is lower. Okay, projects, very high level. Again, in attachment two is a detailed explanation of the various projects. This is a classified view of the project. So from the water fund, we had budgeted for $11.5 million in projects. We got to about $1.7 million worth. The board probably recalls from the number of staff reports, a lot of our focus for this year has been a lot of responding to deferred maintenance. We did four well rehabs in a span of about 8 months, right? So four of our six drinking water wells. So a lot of our time is spent on that. We're working through the modernization of the Smith plant. So a lot of our time has been spent on that. I think we kind of knew that we want to get through $11.5 million of projects in any particular year, but we like to get them on the budget so we know kind of the goals that we're striving for. On the sewer fund, we had 2.9 and it shows year to date zero. So that number is a little misleading. If you look at the CIP for sewer, a lot of the projects listed on there are kind of developer-borne projects subject to reimbursement agreements. So what I mean by that is they are projects that are actively being constructed at the developer's direction. And then when there comes a point in time when the asset is done, we accept it, then that transaction gets recorded, right? So that's why it's kind of a little misleading there. So to say that we did nothing on the sewer side is not accurate. Again, these are developer-driven projects. And you'll actually see some of those sewers or sewer projects get accepted by the board here in the next few months. And then on the administrative side, I talked about this a little bit. That's the building project, and I'll kind of give a status update on that in the next slide. So the administrative building, so March 2026, we got conceptual design package and estimate number one completed. April through June of 2026, the conceptual design changes. We went through basically conceptual design changes to reduce scope and cost. That included reduced site improvements. We decreased the size of the operations building while still achieving goals of functionality, adequate storage space, and staff growth. And we're reducing the scope of the administration building, utilizing most of the existing layout, with improvements focused on modernization, ADA compliance, and build out of existing vehicle bay. So over the last couple of months, we recently completed the structural destructive testing of the existing building to determine feasibility of the preferred conceptual approach. And currently, we're awaiting conceptual design package and estimate number two. So that's where we're at on the building project. And then lastly, grants. So again, attachment three is the detailed grant list. This is summarized. So we have grants awarded of just under $4 million. We've had reimbursed about $225,000. And I kind of segregated the seismic reservoir replacement project, $24 million. Obviously, that's a large price tag. What I wanted to clarify is that grant has not been awarded at this time. That's the district's hazard mitigation grant program application. It's advanced out of the Cal OES phase and onto FEMA, which is a pretty significant milestone in and of itself. Based upon our communications with Cal OES and their staff, they do think that we have a strong grant application. It's in FEMA's kind of bucket now to review. We achieved a benefit cost ratio of 2.76%, meaning the anticipated benefits of public safety, water system reliability, and avoided earthquake-related losses are nearly three times the project's cost. So now we're waiting to hear back. So we're hopeful that we get a significant amount of money to tackle our four reservoirs. Remember, we have four current reservoirs. Two of them are 35 years old, and two of them are 60 years old. That would be a huge, huge win for this district if we can get a huge chunk of change to tackle those projects.
What were we trying to get? Not the 1224.
That's what we're trying to get.
Oh, we are? Oh.
So if we get what we asked for,
Oh, there we go.
the total project is 24. I want to say it's a 75% cost share. So we would get 18 million, and then our share would be about $6
Okay.
million. And then this is the cash balances. I know it's hard to read, but this format should look familiar. It's on an agenda item earlier on in the agenda, the cash asset report. So cash balances at the beginning of the year started at $40 million. End of the year, we're at $48 million. I know it seems like a lot. There's a lot of restrictions placed on that cash. I talked about the project list from a couple of slides ago. We got a lot of things that we're trying to tackle this year, the next few years. But at a snapshot in time, those are the cash balances end of June 30th, 2026. From a budget consideration standpoint, there's no direct physical impact. Preparing these items was just done through normal staff time during the district's normal financial reporting procedures. So recommendations to receive and file a quarterly budget to actual capital improvement project and grants update for fiscal year 25-26, fourth quarter. And before I kind of shoot it over to you guys for deliberation and questions. Like I said, this is the first time I've done this. If you guys want a different presentation, if you guys want kind of like the variances to change, you let me know. I can accomplish that. That's why, when we sent out the board packet last Thursday, I think I have on here. If there's anything in particular you want me to research leading into tonight's meeting, let me know. I had not heard anything. But again, there's accounts you have questions about, let me know, and we can get you answers for those. And that's it.
Any discussion, questions, comments, question? There's some construction going on. I believe it's on the Wallen
Excuse me.
right now, and I found like really big pipes. Is that part of the district project?
Yeah, well, they're doing the storm drain down there for that's part of the district, yeah.
Okay.
And they gotta adjust some of the sewer laterals. Some of our customer sewer laterals where the storm drain is crossing.
So I saw all the movement, so I was really happy about it. Didn't want to interfere at the but that's always exciting because it looks like it's going to upgrade our residents, right?
Yeah, there'll be storm drain going through that neighborhood now.
But by district, we mean the district at Harupa Valley.
Correct.
Formerly Emerald Meadows.
Yes.
I had some questions. Questions on slides 7, 9, and 10. If you could go to slide 7 first.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm comparing that to sheet 11 of attachment one. So in the first column, those numbers match. In the so the second column of this slide matches the third column of this sheet of paper. The third column of that slide matches the fifth column of the sheet of paper. And then the variance, the number is the same, but on the sheet of paper, it's in parentheses. And there, it's not in parentheses.
So my sign flipping here is probably inaccurate. That is the more accurate. So what we're saying is we thought revenue, let me see here. Okay, so we thought from a budget standpoint, we were going to have a deficit of about $885,000. We have revenue in excess of expense of $1 million. So that from going negative in the hole, 800 to plus $1 million, that's 1.9 positive variance. So we go from a deficit to a surplus to an excess. So we had budgeted basically $884,000 coming from reserves to cover this difference. The way that the numbers are shaking out, $1 million in excess. So basically going from 800,000 to zero plus to a million is about $1.9 million.
Okay, so let's go up one row. So there's the 5 million, that's a positive value. So I'm looking at column two, second from the bottom. There's a number there that's five.
Yes, these are, these are absolute numbers. Forward revenues less total expenses gets you to the original $884,000 deficit.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the sign convention. Okay. So there's a number there that's 5 million.
Yes.
Okay. And then there's the year-to-date expenditure. That number is 3 million.
Okay.
Okay. And the difference between the two is the 2 million. So yes. The difference between 5 and 3 is 2, and what that number is representing is 3 minus 5. That's why it's a negative number.
That's correct.
Okay. And then on this piece of paper, it's the same values, but it's 5 minus 3 gives you 2. Okay, my next question is on slide 9, if we go to slide 9.
Want to go back one?
No, let's go to slide 10. Go back to these pages here. Maybe I was writing down page numbers rather than songs. Hold on a second here. Go back to slide 9. So on this building thing, there's this estimate number one and this estimate number two. So
correct.
That's an estimate prepared by the architect.
No, it's outsourced and estimator. Third-party estimator.
Okay.
different from the one that estimated from a different architect.
Okay. And let's go to number 10. All right, so this seismic retrofit of reservoirs,
mm-hmm.
how many of these, I just don't recall the number of reservoirs we have we need to do this seismic retrofit on.
All of them.
All of them.
Okay. Well, it's not even a retrofit, it's a replacement, which, I mean, so a retrofit is not even feasible for these reservoirs.
So we wouldn't be doing some kind of banding of the reservoir or installation of posts. We would tear down what we got.
We started there, Director Murphy, but as this progressed, it went to full replacement.
Okay. And then we would be replacing steel reservoirs with steel reservoirs?
No. The three largest reservoirs would be steel replaced with concrete, and then Hunter, which is our smallest one, would be steel replaced with steel.
Okay. All right. And I had one last question. I was confused by this term.
Okay.
Earthquake related lawsuits. What? I'm just, this is my interpretation of earthquakes. They're like, it's a force of nature, like tornadoes.
No, no, losses, Director Murphy.
Losses. Losses. Oh, not losses.
Not losses.
Okay. No, I did not hear you correct.
Okay.
So that's earthquake related
losses.
Losses. Thanks for that. Also, thank you for putting page numbers on the slides and on the study. Super helpful.
I have a question. With government agencies, do insurance cover natural perils, like tornadoes and stuff like that?
I would have to look at our insurance policy. I don't think so. I mean, because how do you insure against natural disasters? I mean, those are catastrophic.
License 13 years.
I would have to look at our. I would have to look at our insurance policies. I don't know that off the top of my head.
Do we have an option to purchase another one just for any of those type of losses? Natural disasters.
We can look into it.
Yeah, because I know that as a peril of a natural disaster insurance regular doesn't cover.
It incurred a major loss when there was a big flood and the pipeline that ran from this side of the river to the other side of the river got busted. They got money from the feds through FEMA. So there's a major disaster. Public agencies frequently get disaster relief.
Yes, and thank you for reminding. So the local hazard mitigation plan that came before the board a couple of meetings ago. Yeah, so it's exactly what Director Murphy is saying. So we never had one before. So that allows us eligibility into FEMA monies, which are disaster relief monies. When it comes to the insurance standpoint, I can look into that for you.
Okay, anything else? I'd like to thank you, Mr. Ladislav, for putting this together. I know this was, as you mentioned, the first time that it was at our direction. So I would encourage board members, if you liked this and you would like to see it this way again, or if you would like to see something different, because I know it was a lot of work to put it together, but you could speak with Mr. Ladislav and we assign
that. Yeah, so the way, so Q1 will end September 30th, so then it takes time to kind of close everything, so we're probably looking at November for Q1.
Well, I think the transparency aspect of it is very good.
Okay. You know, it was tough because it's the first time and it's the entire fiscal year, so it's like everything. So yeah. Now that we're kind of starting a new fiscal year, right. So the quarter by quarter, you'll kind of see the progression
right.
Over this particular fiscal year.
Thank you.
Great. So before we go to item 9, I would like to adjourn the regular meeting and enter into closed session.
So you need a receive and file.
Okay. Do we have a motion to receive and file item 8? You know, I'll make a motion to receive and file. I don't know. All in favor? Okay. Motion carries. Director Volkmano was the second. Okay. With that, at 5:11, we will adjourn closed session.
All right. I don't see closed session on the
It's not, but we are calling closed session of this hearing.
So we need to take a vote.
Well, that's it.
Yes.
So,
yeah, you need. Yeah, if you're going to have a closed session, you need to state the basis for it and have a motion to add it to the agenda and why it needs to be on this agenda as opposed to subsequent agenda. Okay, I don't know anything about it. So,
well, you kind of do. So on the agenda, maybe you can help me with the text. It says at any time during regular session, the board may adjourn to closed session. So that still has to be done under motion, right?
Yeah, but it needs to be on the agenda. It needs to be noticed.
Okay, well, then we can just do
we
next
will,
time. I got it. Okay, we can do it next time.
It's, okay. Can you add it?
We can't add it as a, it's going to be 30 seconds. I just figured the board wanted to know.
What is it?
Okay. I mean, it's.
Look, if it's not an emergency, we'll just do it.
Okay. It's not an emergency. It's not an emergency.
Let's just do it next meeting.
I got the information. I thought the board would want to know, but we can do it next meeting. It's not a big deal.
You can, depending upon what it is, you can communicate with the board as individuals outside of the meeting. But I don't know what you're talking about unless it's the letter we got
not,
today.
It's not.
Well, then do that.
No. It's the, okay. Then, you know. Yeah. All right.
If it's not an emergency, I don't think we need to do an emergency agenda item. I think we should just do it at the next meeting.
Okay. Simple enough.
Okay. Item 9, director's comments and reflects. That way, we know if I know I had a comment. So my question was just on the construction going on. So that's another one of those benefits coming with new development is that they get to upgrade our infrastructure. So that's really cool to see for our community to be able to benefit from that, not just the new people that move into our area, but they actually come and improve where people are already existing. So that's awesome. Can't wait for the curbs and gutters to come over. That's it. Thank you.
I'm curious, does Homeland Security contact stay in touch with us about the cyber attacks that are going on with all the water districts?
I want to say we get direct. I mean, we're on email chains and we're constantly getting pinged on stuff and then just other industry.
Is there any stuff going on the West Coast? It seems like it's all back east.
There's an Ernie meeting coming up based on those terror attacks, those cyber attacks. Yeah, I can get information. Ernie, so it's the mutual aid we're part of.
Yeah.
I can get information on that. It's going to be, it's either next week or the week after.
It's like, just feel like you got to.
No, it's definitely a concern. And we, I think 2 or 3 years ago is the first time we purchased cybersecurity insurance.
Yeah.
So that's relatively new for the district, but yeah.
You can run manual though, like these other operations do where they.
Well, we have good experience running manual because we've done that for some
years. I was going to say, you should be careful too. All right.
We're actually progressing, and we're thinking about the people's mistakes without having to go through the pain they went through for cybersecurity attacks.
Yeah.
And I'm working like when as we kind of because this year's budget we're replacing everything that's IT infrastructure in the budget.
Yeah.
But then we also think about what's called like an airtight, like an air gap, which means if a computer for like an AP clerk gets hacked, it won't affect the operating system out in the field, they stay
seems like
so one can't infect the other and get the other one sick.
Just feel like you can't drop your guard for nothing anymore these days, you know. So,
but we do go to those meetings and they're very helpful.
Okay.
Director Trevor?
No comment.
Director Murphy?
One thing about this sewer leak over by the new development is that the inspector was the reporting party. What that tells you is the inspector was on site and was looking around. So if we could let that inspector know that we appreciate his good efforts.
Will do.
And I have no comments. So we will meet again August 20th at 4 p.m. With that, we adjourn at 5:16.
Okay, everybody, stay cool out there.
What's that?